Good morning, church. Well, it's so good to see you here this morning. Had a really good turnout this morning, first service as well, which always unusual on Leap Forward Sunday. But it's good to see everyone here today. I guess I need to. Anybody read your open windows this morning? You did. You saw the title of it, and then you saw the title of my sermon today. Because it says it's called to be holy. It's from the section of 1 Peter 1:13-21. And the Christian life begins with the call of God through the Holy Spirit, which convicts us, and we are saved through faith in Christ. God calls us to Himself just as we are, but it doesn't end there. We are called to be saved and also to live life worthy of that calling after we are saved. Just as Christ was an unblemished and spotless lamb, God is calling us to be holy. That's the reading for this morning on the open window. Windows. And I was a little surprised. Scott was praying for me, and then he sent me a message, and it says, "Did you read the open windows this morning?" I said, "No, I hadn't, but I just finished reading it," and I thought, wow, how God is moving. I want you to know that this subject is very important to me. And I know that it's going to be, for some people, it could be challenging. And I hope that you won't get up and walk out. I guess I should actually basically start. How's your 2020 more going? Going good? Your devotions are going well? Okay, come on. Your devotions, earlier, at the early service, I couldn't get him to speak back, but this is called question-answer. Question-answer. You know, when there's a question, you don't have to answer all of them, but it would help to know that there are some people that are still, not awake, just willing to communicate. So, but it does help. I didn't hear that. Oh, okay. Well, but some of us need to admit that. It's a good thing to admit, because then we can come alongside you and encourage you and hold us accountable. That's one of the blessings about being a Christian, to be honest. We really need to be able to be vulnerable. We need to be vulnerable. And we need to take that vulnerability and say that we're not afraid to say we love them and then hold people accountable. You know, we need to love them. We need to hold them accountable. We need to encourage them. And I'm getting ahead of my sermon. So I hope that that you're getting more of Jesus and less of yourself as we begin this journey in 40 days, the 40 days of focus. In my journey, it was always called the time of Lent. In the denomination that I served for years, it was a time of Lent. It was a time of introspection, a time to get serious about my relationship with Jesus, my relationship with God, to seek the Lord with my whole heart. And I'm not sure that it's being done that well anymore. And we're going to talk about that. That's part of what this message is about. I hope that you're finding times to practice many more acts of kindness. I hope that you're finding times to engage in your devotional and prayer life. I continue to have a wonderful, wonderful week. God has answered a number of prayers for me. And I'm still lifting many more up. And I'm sure that you're doing the same thing. But it's good to acknowledge that God is, that you're actually hearing, that you're seeing the God working in the lives of people. And I want to invite you to step out by expanding yourselves. You heard Elijah talk about Vacation Bible School is coming, and there's always need for Awanas. There's always a need at Awanas. There's always a need in all of our youth ministry activities and young people's stuff. But there's small groups like Sunday school. Now, some of you think, well, Sunday school's not a small group. Well, it really is. For some churches, it's the only time. But in other churches, this is just one of the times. Because in this church, we have Sunday school. And then we also have some small groups that you could step out and step into and help step up and grow in your own faith. And grow in your relationships with one another. Well, I'm trying to, in keeping with Pastor Scott, you know, Pastor Scott, have you felt that Pastor Scott's been a cheerleader? Huh? Have you been feeling it in his messages the last several months? That he's really trying to cheer us on and encourage us, and he's just really trying to, you know, he's really trying to get us pumped up. And I really have felt that. I've really felt that he's been doing a really great job of getting that message out and encouraging us, and especially as we get into the Word of God. Because that's where we get encouraged. And so this morning, I've chosen the selection out of 1 Peter. Now this morning in my first service, I didn't have it marked properly in this particular book in the Bible I was using. I read from my favorite reading, which is from the Message. I like reading the Message translation. Some of you might use it, some of you may not. But in the Message, I just want to read the first part. Okay? First part. In the Message it says, so roll up your sleeves. Come on. Roll up your... Oh, you already got them up. Okay. So roll up your sleeves. Put your mind in gear. Be totally ready to receive the gift that's coming when Jesus arrives. Don't lazily slip back into those old grooves of evil, doing just what you feel like doing. You didn't know any better then. You do now. As obedient children, let yourselves be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life, a life energetic and blazing with holiness. God said, I am holy. You be holy. In that same section, and I'm going to read from the ESV to go into the next section. I didn't read it that way. I read from the whole message earlier. But I want to read this next section, and it's from verses 18 and following. And it reads like this. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundations of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. And verse 22 says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for the sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Now in chapter 2, Peter begins this next section with this. And I'm going to go ahead and move back into the message, because I kind of like how it puts it. It's basically the same in everything you read it, but I like what he says here in the message. He says, so clean house. Ooh. Clean house. Make a clean sweep of malice and pretense, envy and hurtful talk. You had a taste of God. Now, like infants at the breast, drink deep of God's pure kindness. Then you'll grow up mature and whole in God. But this reading and these readings that I've been doing, when I do my preparation for my sermon, I usually read about 7 different translations. Because I really am looking for the right. I want it to be right. I want to be able to convey what I think the Scripture is actually saying, not only to me, but I want to be able to make sure I'm getting it to you. You know, if you don't have a habit of bringing your Bible to church, put it on your telephone. I bet you don't go anywhere without your telephone. Right? So you could bring your telephone, pull it up, open it up, and pull up your Bible, and you could read. But bring your Bible to church. It's the greatest tool you can ever have, especially when you're at worship. So when I read all these particular translations, it causes me to raise, it raises up questions. I'm in a Bible study. Delbert, raise your hand. Delbert's in a Bible study. Lee's in that Bible study. We meet on Wednesday mornings, and we're with a bunch of men. And sometimes we're reading the Word, and we're given this, we do word studies. It's a word study. Like seek. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Or love the Lord your God with all your heart, and we focus on the word love. But anyway, when we do these word studies, we're supposed to ask a question. After you read it, like, here's a question. From John 21. Peter and John and James and all the boys are down at the lake. They're fishing. You remember? It's after the resurrection. All right, down at the lake, they're fishing, and somebody appears on the beach, and he says, "Hey, boys." Bill's paraphrase. "Hey, boys, come on in for breakfast." And Peter in the boat says, "It's the Lord," and he can't wait to get there. He's excited, and they get there and they begin to break bread together. And Jesus turns to Peter and he says, "Do you love me?" Now, that's the question of the day. The question that I'm reading is, and I'm looking at the word, and I ask myself, do I love the Lord? Do I really love Him? So when I was reading this particular translations and this particular readings, I came up with a bunch of questions. Let me share some of them with you, okay? Here's one of the first questions I asked myself. Well, Bill, how are you doing with that holiness thing? That's a good question. And then the second question, are you yielding to the Holy Spirit? Oh boy, now my toes are starting to hurt. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to clean house in your heart? Come on, Lord, you're meddling now. Are you remembering the cost of your salvation? Now this is getting a little hard, Lord. You're getting a little pushy. Kind of step back, will you? Are you trusting God for transformation? Oh, Lord. And then I got this next question. Am I different than I was when I was a natural man? Do I attempt to qualify what I believe by the world's changing morals, ethics, and norms? Am I striving for a life that reflects God's grace and love? These are the type of questions that the reading causes me to have when I do these readings. It causes me to look into it. And this, I do this in the Sunday school class. I do it in my men's Bible study. I do it because it should ask you to answer questions about your relationship, how you're doing. And this whole subject today is all about holiness. Are you holy? How are you doing in it? Are you striving to be holy like God? You know, I would venture to say that in this group, there could be three types of people, or three kinds of people in this group. I would venture to say there's probably just two. But I will say there's three. You know, the natural man is the man who's bound for hell. He has no idea about spiritual things. Has no idea. And he really doesn't care about them. Now, he could be here because he got drugged here by somebody. Or he could, or she could be here because she was drugged here by somebody. Okay? That's a natural person, a natural man. And then there's the spiritual person. A spiritual person is a person who knows that he accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. He believes all the creedal statements that we sang about this morning. All the things that we believe about Jesus' virgin birth, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his blood being poured out for the forgiveness of sin. We believe all these things, and a spiritual man is that man. A spiritual man is also a man who is seeking to grow more like the Lord, who is trying to strive to live a life that's in keeping with what the Word of God reveals out of his search. And so when we study God's Word, it begins to work in us and begins to cause us to ask questions. Am I that kind of person? Am I really trusting the Lord for all these things that I say I am? And then the third person is a carnal Christian. Now let me tell you what a carnal Christian is. Now some of you might already have an idea what a carnal Christian is, but let me tell you what a carnal Christian is. A carnal person is a person who is confused because they desire to live in two cultures, the world culture and the Christian culture. They're like a person trying to straddle a fence. They want to be on this side for these subjects, and then they want to be on God's side for these subjects. But when God's subjects don't agree, we find ourselves pulling ourselves one way or the other. We're like being tossed to and fro. We just don't know where we want to be. And a carnal Christian is someone who wants to live in both worlds. He wants to be satisfied and settled in both worlds. And I want you to know, this preacher believes you can't get to heaven by straddling, trying to live in two worlds. You're either a part of God's kingdom or you're a worldly person. You can't become holy trying to live in two worlds. You either got to be striving and working towards that process. And I want you to know, I know how difficult living in two worlds is. I did it for a while. I stumbled through it a while. I thought it was possible. I did all kinds of stuff. I mean, we'll get to it here in a few minutes because we're going to talk about it. But I want you to know that I believe that in the church, and I believe the church is filled with a lot of believers. I believe the church is filled with people who really want to believe in the Lord. But I also believe that there are a lot of people in the churches today who want to believe that they can live in both cultures and they can compromise on anything and everything that goes. If it doesn't fit well, that's okay. God's rules are for God's, but it's not for this, not for me. Well, if it's not for you, then how do you expect to get to glory? How do you expect to get from this present life that you live in? The scripture tells me that we're not of this world. Right? Is that what you believe? That we're just passing? Oh, come on. Just passing through. Our citizenship is in, which is not here. But we're just passing through, and so we have to do our best to prepare ourselves for that. And one thing that I've appreciated so much about Pastor Scott is he's been challenging us to be prepared. He's been challenging us to be ready for that moment. We don't know when the moment's coming. I have no idea when Christ is coming back. I don't. And I've been living in and teaching and preaching and studying God's Word for a long time. And I've read prophecy. And I finally said, you know, Lord, whatever. Because there's no answer. Even the theologians don't agree on it. But the thing is, are you ready for that event? I read from 1 Peter, he mentions that he's coming again. Are we going to be ready for that? Be holy as I am holy. That's what God says. God says it. He says it in Leviticus. He says it in Psalms. It's repeated again over and over in the scriptures that we're to be holy like God. And that means being different. Being different. Well, I appreciate Pastor Scott. And I appreciate the fact that Scott's willing to step out with boldness on these subjects. You know, Peter calls Christ's followers, or children of God, to be holy and to live holy lives. There are three kinds of people, possibly here. I've mentioned that. Natural, carnal, and spiritual. I want you to understand that the terms of our redemption has not changed. You know that, don't you? The terms of our redemption has not changed. It requires to recognize that we're not where we should be, and that God has offered us grace and mercy, and we have an opportunity to seek forgiveness and ask for forgiveness and receive forgiveness. And then we begin to live accordingly. Our lives are transformed. We begin to, many of us are baptized. Some of us are baptized in the baptistry. Some of us are baptized in the river. Sometimes we've been baptized in swimming pools. We've been all over the place. But it leads to a new life. And you remember the symbol of baptism is, the pastor says, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's like a burial. You're being buried in a watery grave. Your old self is being laid there, and you rise as you take that new breath, be a new person in Christ. And so you have that new life. And so when we talk about things changing, we need to remember that the world's ethics, they are changing. Haven't you seen it? Have you seen the world's ethics change? Have you seen the world's understanding of what is acceptable and unacceptable change? Are the norms changing out there in the world? Norms, ethics, even the morals are changed. And how you identify yourself is changed. All these things, the world says, that's okay. But the Word of God says, we're male and female. The Word of God says, there's two genders. The Word of God says, there's a marriage between a husband and a wife. It doesn't suggest promiscuity. It doesn't suggest that we should live in two worlds. It doesn't suggest that you should be playing around and be promiscuous. It doesn't suggest that marriage, that you should be practicing anything outside of marriage that you can only do in marriage. But the world says it's okay. It's okay. But that's not really what the Word of God says. And as a believer, we should not be compromising on the truth. We shouldn't. This is God's truth. Do you guys agree? Now, if you agree with that, why is it that... And see, here's where my biggest stumbling block comes. My biggest stumbling block comes every election time. Every election time. My stumbling block comes every election time when people who are elected to certain roles and positions have taken a stand and say, I'm a believer, but no, God's word isn't for our politics today. God's word isn't appropriate for how the world is living today. So we separate church from the world, or we separate church from state. Well, I don't know about you. I have a hard time separating. I can't be divided. Do you feel like you're having to be divided? To me, The Word says to be holy like the Word of God, to be holy like God Himself. So we need to believe the Word. And if I need to believe the Word, then I need to accept the Word. And if I accept the Word, then I need to allow it to work in me. And I want to challenge you that if you believe that God has said it, and you believe it, and that settles it, then we need to start practicing it. We need to be different. And I know that it's not an easy thing to be different in the world. I lived in the world for some 25, 30 years before I became a believer. Before I became a real believer. I tried to be one of those believers that lived in both worlds. As I was sharing with someone today, I believe that God's in the business of transformation. I think it's on the outline somewhere. I get so lost in outlines, it's hard for me to do this. I don't do this very often. Aren't you glad? Because God's pretty good about keeping on target with us. So let me just say that God's standards have never changed. The Word of God says, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right? So His standards haven't changed. The world's standards have changed. And therefore, we need to understand that our redemption hasn't changed. The price of our redemption hasn't changed. The terms of our redemption haven't changed. And the way God expects us to live hasn't changed. And this is our guidebook. I wear a hat that says Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. I wear a hat, basic instructions before leaving earth. The Bible. The B-I-B-L-E. And if that's what I believe, then I ought to be striving to live according to it, right? Shouldn't we all be striving to live according to it? Isn't that our goal? Is our goal in glory, or is our goal to have whatever we want down here? My goal is to get to glory. My hope is in what God has planned for me in the future, and you as well. The terms of our hope have not changed. The Scripture says that all Scripture is God-breathed. Do you believe that? It says, I'm reading from 2 Timothy, and I'm reading from the Message. It says, I'm reading actually from verse 14 through 17. The Word of God is consistent in showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ. Every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing truth, exposing our rebelliousness, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way, so that the person of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, thoroughly shaped for the task God has for us. That's in 2 Timothy 3:15, 17. If we believe that God's Word is good for us and helps us, then we need to receive rebuke. We need to receive correction. We need to realize that it's to help us. And I guess the thing that I'm concerned about, because I was pretty rebellious. I'll tell you how rebellious I was. I had a problem with my tongue. I cussed a lot when I was a kid. I cussed a lot when I was a young adult. And occasionally, when that golf ball goes the wrong direction, I might slip. Or I have been known, when I've been working with wood, and I'm not a carpenter, and I've been known, when that hammer hits that thumb, I've been known that sometimes it doesn't, I wish I could say I was better, but I'm not. But I want you to understand that God does want change. He wants things to change. But when I was playing basketball and football and baseball and softball and volleyball and all the balls that you could do, bowling and whatever, I did it. Tennis, pickleball, I've done it all. And those things were that I got so much engaged in them. But my language wasn't always the best. And I realized that I needed to change. So I said, I can do it. So I set out to do it myself. And the more I tied, the more I tried to do it myself, I couldn't do it. Then one of my friends suggested that I read James. He was a meddler. Well, you know those guys. Don't you? Do you have anybody that meddles in your life? Anyway, he was a meddler, and he said, you need to read James. And I said, well, why should I read James? He says, because you've got a problem with your tongue. I says, well, where do you think you come off talking to me like that? And he said, you have a problem with your attitude, too. You really need to read James. So I began reading James, and I got to that third chapter, and it talks about the tongue being a very bad. And then I realized that the only change that can take place is what God will do with me. It's something He brings about. And so I began to pray, God, with the Holy Spirit's help, will you change me? Change my vocabulary. Now, I want to stress that. Change my vocabulary. That's what I had to pray. So what that meant was I needed to expand my word knowledge. I needed to invest myself in studying the dictionary, looking into words that were better equipped to articulate what I was feeling emotionally and instead of four-letter words. Because the four-letter words weren't really explaining anything. They just meant that I was mad. I was upset. But God wants to change you from the inside out, and He wants to change you, and He uses the Holy Spirit to make that work. And so I had to trust God to do that. And so growing in holiness is trusting in God. Growing in holiness is being obedient. When God says something, I can question it. I can ask questions about it. But there comes a point in time when He begins to reveal to me more and more His truth. And as He reveals His truth to me, I begin to respond in the right manner. My life begins to take on a different look. And I want you to understand that God wants you to look different than you did. I have a question. Are any of you the same, living the same lifestyle, living the same situation as you were when you first were invited to be a follower of Jesus? Are you the same as you were when you first invited Jesus into your heart? I hope not. I hope not. I know I'm not. I'm not the same as I was 50-some years ago. I'm not the same. Now, I have some friends. I have some friends who every once in a while we get together. And they, well, what have you been doing for the last 50 years? Well, I was preaching. You were a preacher? Well, I remember you when you were in high school. I remember when we used to, we don't do those things anymore. You're right, I don't do those things anymore because I'm different. We have to be different. I know that's not a good subject. I know that nobody wants to hear that. I know it's hard to hear the subject that we need to be different. But the world needs to hear the message. Our world is so caught up in so much garbage and so much hate, so much ugliness, that they need to hear the message. And the message is, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You know? That's the message. Now, I realize that some people that I associate with say, well, Bill, you can tell me that, but you're judging me. And I'm saying, no, I'm not judging you. I'm just trying to tell you that God loves you so much that He wants to change your life. He wants to give you a hope and a future. He wants to fulfill a promise that He made, that He would send His Son to die for your sins, and that if you took Him as your Savior, you could come to glory. Now, that's just a nutshell. But that's what happens. And we move and strive to work to be holy. God desires a holy people. God wants holy people. I just want you to know I grew up in a church. I grew up in churches that we sang hymns. I want you to know. Today I didn't know. I was telling Ted, I told the first service, and I told Todd this morning that I got me a new phone. I got me a new i15. Okay, I had my other one was so old it wasn't taking any new updates, and so I was getting all kinds of garbage on it, and my battery was beginning to die, and I had to get a new one. So I went and got a new one, and I went there, and they transferred everything like they're supposed to do, but for some reason I can't get into my Google, and I can't get into my Yahoo Mail, And I didn't get all the announcements about what was coming this Wednesday, from Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I didn't get all the new songs and everything. And so I had no idea that we were singing I Believe. I had no idea that we're singing I Love You, Lord. I had no idea singing the songs we sang this morning. But what I do know is this. Is if we just sing the songs, just to sing them, and we don't believe what we sing, then they're just noise. They're not a sweet, sweet sound that goes to the throne. If we don't believe what we sing and we don't live it, then it's just a noise. And no one wants to hear noise, but they will listen to love. Genuine, caring, loving concern. They'll listen to that. When I'm going to close. When I was growing up in the church, there were three hymn writers that challenged me. One of them was Charles Gabriel, Charles Gabriel. Another one was Fanny Crosby. And another one was Thomas Chisholm. Now, some of you may not remember the names of these hymn writers. But Charles Gabriel wrote a song, More Like the Master. And here's the first verse. More like the Master would I ever be, more of His meekness, more humility. More zeal to labor, more courage to be true, more consecration for work He bids me do. More like the Master. That's my desire. And that's my desire for the church. My desire for the church is that we would be more like the Master. Fanny Crosby wrote, more like Jesus would I be. Let my Savior dwell in me, fill my soul with peace and love. Make me gentle as a dove. That's a powerful statement. I don't know about you. I haven't always been very gentle. I'm not a gentle person. I never have considered myself to be a gentle person. But I know that's something God wants. He wants us to be compassionate and caring and loving. And then finally, Thomas Chisholm wrote one of the hymns that just began to turn my life around about 35 years ago. It was written long before that, but 35 years ago or 45 years ago, just literally transformed my life and changed me. And the verse is this, and it's from the song Living for Jesus. Some of you remember these songs? Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free, this is the pathway of blessing for me. God desires a holy people. He doesn't desire people vacillating back and forth. He doesn't desire people wanting to live in two different cultures. He desires people to be different. I didn't use this quote this morning in the first service, but I will use it. I'm almost done, Todd. I said that 5 minutes ago, didn't I? When I say we need to be different, in Jesus' prayer in John 17, he said, if the world hated me, they will hate you too. That may be Bill's paraphrase, but I want you to know, in John 17, Jesus says to his disciples, the world will hate you. The world will persecute you because they persecuted me. If you're my follower, not my fan, but if you're my follower, you're a child of God, you will be persecuted because you're different. But the world needs to see the difference today. It needs to see us today living for Jesus. I'm going to ask you to stand. I want you to join with me in a kind of something that I'll say and then I'll have you repeat. And then we're going to close with, I love you, Lord. And those of you who were here the first service, you got two sermons today because they're not the same. So I'd like you to repeat after me this, okay? I'm God's child. I'm God's child. Come on now, let's add something to it. I'm God's child. That's better. I may be bald or full of hair. I may be 6'11" or only 1'4". But I'm God's child. I may be skinny or pleasingly plump, but I'm God's child. I'm God's child. You are God's children. Live according to His truth. Walk in His way. Strive for holiness. For this is His desire. Amen.